Today we take a break from theoretical topics and I will show you some examples of applications of unconstrained optimization. So some problems from different fields which turn out to be unconstrained optimization problems. Indeed, it is not very easy to find unconstrained optimization problems in applications, because generally you always have some sort of constraint. Okay? Whenever you have an application, your choices, your variables somehow are generally constrained to take some values, to behave in a certain way, and so on. So it's not so easy to find examples of unconstrained optimization, but indeed there are. The first come from physics and deals with the following situation. Okay, let's suppose that the blackboard is our space, and it is filled with some isotropic homogeneous media. Let's say you have two media, air and water, air and oil, and so on. And let's suppose that they are not mixed. Okay. So in a part of the space you have, let's say, air, and in another part of the space you have water, for instance. And the boundary, the surface between the two media is a line. Okay? So let's say that here we have medium one and here we have medium two. The two means are homogeneous, isotropic, so you can move in each medium with a constant speed. Okay? You don't have trouble to move with a constant speed. Let's say VI in medium MI, so V1 here and V2 here. Okay? And let's say we want to go from some point P in the first medium to some point Q in the second medium. Okay. And we want to make it in the fastest possible way, as fast as possible. Okay? So we want to choose the best trajectory. Think, for instance, you want to send a ray of light from P to Q, or a wave from P to Q. So this is the problem. We do know that rays and waves move in the fast possible way. Okay, actually in physics you always have some sort of minimum principle in most of the phenomena. But you can imagine also that this is you that wants to move across the 2 million. Okay, first thing, we have to mathematically model this problem. Okay? So, since we are dealing with a problem in the plane, first thing to do is to choose axis. Okay? Cartesian axis. And one way to do it in a smart way, to simplify computation, is that, okay, since we have a line here, this is one of the two. Okay, this is one axis. And for the other one, what would you do?
Okay, Cartesian circle, which was orthogonal to this line, and to simplify coordinates of points, for instance, we can take this axis, which is orthogonal to the boundary, the surface between the two media, and passing through, let's say, P. And then we can also choose, positive and negative, and we can also choose the scale, the unit of measure. So we can say that P is point minus 1, 0, okay, which is this length as the unit length. It's a choice, and we choose it to be negative. And we choose the two axes in such a way that Q, which will be of coordinates Q1, Q2, will be with Q2 and Q1 positive. Okay? We can always make this. If we have a plane, we have two points, separating line, you can always choose axis this way. Okay? In this way, we simplify combination. So, if you think in terms of choices, okay? Well, here we have an infinite number of possible trajectories. Any function you can think, so if you think this as the points and these the values, you could think of any function which passes through P and Q. Okay? But first we have some physical knowledge which helps. Since the speed is constant within a medium, okay? To get to another point here, or here, or here, or here, which is the best trajectory? If you want to go here, which is the best trajectory? It's a line. So, inside a given medium, you move along a line. Okay? So, here we move along a line, and here we move along another line. Okay? And since this is a trajectory, our journey, the two lines must meet. And where do they meet, clearly? On the boundary. Okay? Here we move along the line until some point, and here we will move along the line until we reach Q. Okay? So, whenever we choose a point on this surface, let's say this one or this one, the trajectory is uniquely determined. Okay? Because if we choose this point, trajectory will be this one. Okay? If you choose the other point, trajectory. Will be this one. Okay? So, whenever we choose a point of the kind x, no, 0x, we have chosen a trajectory made of two lines. Okay? Any other trajectory passing through this point or these points gets you a worse result. Since the speed is constant, inside the medium, the best way is to move along the line. Okay? So, Here, the choice, what you can control, what you can choose, is x, just one single variable, okay? A single number. And it can be positive or negative. Okay? No reason why you could not take this trajectory. A priori, no reason. Okay? Then we clearly understand from the picture that it would be longer. And it would take much, much more time. Clearly, the trouble here is just one, that V1 and V2 are generally different. Because if they are equal, we know the answer. Which is the answer? If the speed here and the speed here is the same, which is the fastest trajectory? It's clearly the line passing through P and Q. So we can now formulate the problem considering the time needed to go from P to Q as a function of x, okay, along the corresponding trajectory. So, which is the time we need to go from P to this point 0x? Okay, is the length of this segment divided by the speed. Okay? Space divided speed gives you the time. And the speed is the time. So, and what is the length of that segment? Okay. This is 1 and this is x. So the length is, which is actually the distance between these two points, okay, is 1 plus x squared. And then we take the square root of the sum. Is it clear to everyone? Okay, that this is the length of this segment. Yeah? And then you do, so this is this length. Then you divide it by the velocity, the speed, v1, and you get the time that you need to go, that you need to travel from here to here. And then we repeat the same argument here. Okay? So we have made, let's say, almost a half of the journey. We get to the surface which divided the two media. Then we go to the next medium. And the distance between the two points is, okay, first coordinate are 0 and q1, so q1 squared plus second coordinates are q2 and x, so q2 minus x whole squared, and then you take the square root of this sum. Okay? So this is the distance between the two points, and then you divide it by the speed, v2. Okay? So, the fastest trajectory is the one that minimizes this function. Okay? To each x in R, we associate uniquely a trajectory. Those two segments, made of those two segments. And f of x gives us the time you need to travel in the two media across that trajectory. Okay? So this is the model. It's pretty simple. It's a function of one variable, okay, so... Exercise for you. F is a convex function. Okay? Suggestion for the exercise. V1 and V2 are given numbers, okay, so are not variables. The unique variable is x. Rather than applying the definition, remember that f of x is 1 over V1, the distance of points P, and let's call this E, intersect, okay? No, QR, okay, intersect is F. Is this distance. And the other is clearly the distance between the intercept R and Q, okay, divided by VT, okay? If you prove that the Euclidean norm is a convex function, which I think we already did, job is almost done, okay? You exploit that the Euclidean norm is a convex function, okay? So this exercise is almost done. Well, I could stop here with this example, but we did something interesting on Friday. We did optimality conditions, and we think that maybe we can solve this problem. Remember, we noticed that for convex optimization problems, minimum points are exactly the points at which the gradient takes value 0. Okay? In this case, the gradient is the gradient of a function of one variable, so it is the usual derivative you know since the first year at the undergraduate program. And we can compute it. Okay. It's the derivative of a square root, so you should know that this is 1/2 over the square root, and then you take the derivative of the argument, which is 2, so that this 2 goes away. It's 2x, so here you're left with x, and then we have a constant which multiplies. So this is the derivative of the first term, okay? You take the derivative of the square root, which is 1/2 the square root, over the square root, and then you take the derivative of the argument, which is 2x, and then you multiply it by 1 over V1, which is a constant value. Okay? And if you make the derivative of this, it's the same. Here you have 1 over V2, which multiplies the square root. And here you have to make the derivative of this, which is 2, which goes away with 1/2. And then you are left with Q2 minus x, and then there's a minus, so you have a minus here. Okay? If you make the derivative, you can do it again less fast by yourself, you get this. So, minima are achieved exactly when x satisfies this equation, okay? The derivative is 0. Notice that for each value you provide x with, this is non-zero and this is non-zero. Okay. Well, we can rewrite this multiplying by the product of the two denominators, and we would get, let's say, V2, the square root of Q1 square plus Q2 minus x square, times x minus V1, the square root of V1 plus x2 all multiplied by q minus x. And all of these has to be zero. So, we reduced our problem to solve, since f is convex, this non-linear equation. Lacqua will teach you how to solve this sort of equation. So here, I want to provide you the numerical solution because you need a method for solving nonlinear equations. But I can provide you some remarks from, let's say, the physical point of view. First of all, here we can write this equation this way. Okay, pretty obvious. And then we can take all the variables on the left-hand side and all the constant values on the right-hand side, dividing by this quantity and this quantity. So we need to have some remarks. First of all, V2 is different from zero. Okay? These are given speeds, so they are positive. So, I didn't say at the beginning, but it's pretty obvious that the speeds are positive numbers. Otherwise, you don't move. Okay? And the problem is meaningless. So this is non-zero and we can divide it by V2. This is non-zero. This could be zero. This could be zero whenever x is equal to q2. Okay? It means when here you go up here and then you move across the horizontal line. Okay? Let's see. This does not solve the problem. X equal q2 does not solve the linear equation. Let's see why. This is zero. Okay. And this is v2 q1 times q2. Okay, so this is zero if and only if Q1 is zero, which means that actually we are not going in the second medium. So indeed, it's not a problem. We just have a unique medium, so we know that the wave moves along that line. Or if Q2 is zero, so Q2 is zero, it means that the point is here, but then we know which is the optimal solution. The optimal solution is this line, okay? Which is indeed given by x equal Q2. So, x equal Q2 is the solution of the equation if and only if Q2 is zero, okay? So it means that both points are on the same orthogonal line to the boundary surface, to the boundary line. So we can suppose that x is different from Q2. And then we can write again this equation in this form. Q1 squared plus Q2 minus x squared, all under the square root, times x, all divided by Q2 minus x times the square root of 1 plus x squared. And this has to be equal to V1 over V2.
Okay? I've written the same equation in a different way, supposing that we are not in that straightforward case. Okay? So, let's make some geometrical consideration. Let's see. V1 and V2 are positive. So the right hand side is a positive number. This is positive and this is positive. Okay? So these two must have the same sign. Okay? So if x is greater than, also we see that x cannot be zero, okay? Because if we take x equal to zero, it does not solve the equation, okay? Because here we have zero. So if x is greater than zero, then x has to be smaller than q, okay? If f is negative, if x is negative, sorry, that means that x has to be also greater than q, 2, but q2 is positive. Okay? So the first thing the question is telling us is that x cannot be negative. Because if x is negative, to solve the equation, it should be also positive. Okay? So we know that the optimal solution, this is q2, value, this is 0, q2, this is 0, 0. We know that the optimal intercept is here. Okay? Now that we know this, let's take the second term, okay? There I divided the left hand side in two terms, okay? With that circle. Take x. What is x? X is the length, so I'm going to geometry, is the length of this segment, okay? And what is the denominator? It's the length of this segment. Okay, so we have the ratio between the length of two sides of a triangle. Okay? Of a rectangular triangle. What is this? This divided by this is exactly what? Trigonometry. Yeah, it's the sine of this angle. Okay, so if we call this theta 1, okay.
This quantity is the sine of theta 1. Okay. Now, let's take the other part, the other circle. The reasoning is exactly the same. So, the numerator is the length of this segment. Okay? The denominator is what? Is x is sorry, q2 minus x. So let me make this triangle. So is the length of this side. Okay? So we have this, the length of this over the length of this. What is this? This over this is the sine of this angle. So here we have the reciprocal. Okay? So this is, that term is, if this is Q2, is theta, is, if this angle, sorry, is named theta 2, this is 1 over the sine of theta 2. Okay? Take this line also on this side. This end, oh. What about this angle and this angle? Basic geometry. You have two parallel lines and the line which crosses them. This angle and these are the same. So this is, once again, theta 1. Okay. So here what we are saying is that the sine of theta 1 divided by the sine of theta 2 is equal to the ratio of the speed in the two mediums. Okay? The optimal solution satisfies this, this relationship between the angles that, let's say, our wave of our ray of light makes with the boundary line and the speed in the two mediums. Okay? So, the solution satisfies this equation, which is the well-known law of refraction. Okay? Which you find named often as the Snell law or the Snell-Descartes law, okay? Original name for Cartesian. So, we found out mathematically the law of refraction, okay? Since we know that a wave or a ray of light goes at the fastest speed, okay, if it passes through these points, the interception must be this. Okay? Or other way, if you are shooting a ray of light in the two medium, starting from here, if you want to pass from Q, you have to make the relationship between these angles be that one. Okay? Their signs must have the same ratio of the speed in the two medium, in the two medium. Is it clear? So, with unconstrained optimization, we find out a physical law, which is, well, we found out a physical known, which was already well known earlier.
Okay?
And exercise. Now suppose you don't have two media, but you have three media. Okay? Always in the plane and always separated by lines. And let's say by two parallel lines. So here you have medium one, here you have medium two, and here you have medium three. Okay? And you want to go from a point P in medium one to a point Q in the farthest medium, which is now our picture medium three, okay, in the fastest way. Okay, so exercise, you can model this as an unconstrained optimization problem. So what are the ins? What would you do? So to do mathematical model, first you need to choose your axis. You will choose them in the same way as before. In each medium, you move across lines. So which are the relevant information to find out the relevant trajectories? Two points, the two intercept points, this one and this one. Okay? So you can call this x1 and this x2. So now you have two variables. You can write once you have chosen a suitable unit or length, my suggestion is to take this and you find it on the nodes as 0, 1, okay, as this as unitary length. Then you can write again your the time you need to travel from here to here, plus the time you need to travel from here to here, and finally from here to here. Okay? You sum them up and you have the total time. And you want to minimize that. Now the, your function is a function of two variables. Has a similar form to the function we wrote at the beginning of the lecture, but it's made by three terms and has two variables. So when you take the gradient has two components now, because you have to take the derivative with respect to x1 and the derivative with respect to x2. Okay. You can make the computation, you can put them equal to zero. And now you are left with a system of two non-linear equations in the two unknowns x1 and x2. Okay? Here on my notes you find both the formula for f and for the derivatives and the system of non-linear equations. Okay? I think that Professor Bevilacqua will use this case as a toy example for solving nonlinear systems. Okay? Do you have any question? Remark, curiosity on this example? So this comes from physics. Okay. I guess that when we will, after we have done, algorithms for some algorithms for unconstrained optimization, I'll show you how the algorithms behave on this example, on this problem. Okay? We will give an initial solution, for instance, this, and I will show you all the steps with which you turn into the optimal trajectory. parting, for instance, from this, then so maybe the next one will be something like this, and so on, until you get to the best one. Okay. From a physical point of view, here you are combining two reflections, two refractions. Okay. Okay, so let's switch to another example. So I will introduce the example to you, then we take a break and we formulate it. So this time I'm starting from let's say a mathematical problem. So once again we consider the plane n equal to, okay? And in the plane you have a set of, let's say, q points, of k points. K is a natural number, so we have P1, P2, P3, P4, P5, and so on, until PQ, okay, which are all points in R2. Okay. And then we have another group of other k points. So we have, let's say, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, Q5, and so on. Which are other k points in R2. And the question is the following. Are P1, PK, and Q1, QK somehow similar? I mean, somehow, can I make these Q points, point by point, match with the other Q points? Okay. Let's say, can I transform the PIs into the QIs, or something which gives the best approximation of this? And so, generally, this type of point of problem is called point pattern matching. Okay, there are something which I didn't say, and is what we will mean by this, okay? Because, of course, I can take point 1 and turn it into point Q. I move it here. And then I can take point P2 and move it in Q2. Or let's say I can move P2 into Q5 and so on. Okay? I can make this. But does it have any sense that it follows some rule, some similitude rules, or not? Okay, so I will define it clearly and state it mathematically after the break. Before, I just want to tell you that this is not just a mathematical problem that we are going to formulate next, but has a lot of application in different fields, from computer graphics, computer vision, astronautics. You have, think this as the position of stars. You have different pictures of a group of stars, and you want to understand from which position and which orientation a satellite took the picture. Or also in biology, chemistry, pharmacology, where these are proteins and you want to understand if they are the same kind, if they align in the same way somehow. And then you have this in the, it's part of computer graphics too, but image analysis, digital footprints. How do you state if they are the same? Generally, you take a number of points on each according to some criteria, and then you try to match them in this way. Okay? Or also handwriting. Okay? Has these two A's been done by the same person or not? Clearly, here you cannot, but let's say this one and this one. Okay. Once again, you can take a number of reference points on the letter and try to make the match. Okay, so let's take 5 minutes break, and then I will formally describe the problem as an unconstrained optimization problem.